We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And while most of the time in this Bible school we're studying old Sunday school lessons, we're doing something different for a few programs here because I was asked to produce manuscripts and deliver lectures at the 42nd Annual Stop 11 Road Church of Christ Lectureship in Indianapolis, Indiana. These lectures took place in November, the days, verses 5 through 9 in the year 2023, and this lecture book was presented at that lectureship, and three of my lectures were published in this book, and I thought I would read them to you. The theme was Mountains and Valleys of the Scriptures, and I'm going to be reading from that lecture book in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you the concluding words of a lecture that I was to deliver on mountains and valleys of the Scriptures, and this is about Mount Calvary and Golgotha. And we're listening to the voices that were heard on that day that Jesus was crucified, and we're almost at the end of this lecture, but I want to read these concluding voices. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And then Matthew 27 and verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut its glories in, when God the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. So in the song written by George Bernard over 100 years ago, we sing, To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me some day to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. Shall I cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it some day for a crown. Now that was the end of that manuscript. The second is called The Righteousness. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Now the person that was to deliver that lecture was unable to get a manuscript completed in the end, and so they asked me, and I had preached a sermon on the 36th Psalm where that expression is found, and I submitted the manuscript for that sermon to them, and they decided they would print that. Let me read to you the 36th Psalm. It has this inscription, For the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of Jehovah. The transgression of the wicked, saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity will not be found out, and he hateth. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit, and he hath ceased to be wise and to do good. He deviseth iniquity upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy loving kindness, O Jehovah, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the skies. Thy righteousness is like the mountains of God. Thy judgment are great deep. O Jehovah, thou preservest man and beast. How precious is thy loving kindness, O God! and the children of men take refuge under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou wilt make them drink of the river of the pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There are the workers of iniquity fallen, and are thrust down, and shall not be able to rise. And so, this lectureship manuscript on thy righteousness is like the great mountains. The inscription of the 36th Psalm tells us it was written to the chief musician. We infer from this that it was intended for public consumption. It is of David, who is identified here as the servant of the Lord. This is a psalm that contrasts the depths of the wickedness of men with the mountains of the goodness of God. In this psalm is one of the most beautiful descriptions of God in the Bible. The wickedness of man is described in the first four verses. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself with his own eyes till his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Psalm 36, 1-4. Notice that man is wicked through his own transgression. To transgress is to go beyond. Man is wicked when he goes beyond the ways of God for his own way. His wickedness comes from his heart, for from his heart he does not fear, reverence, and acknowledge God. Paul refers to this passage in Romans 3, verses 10-18, where he quotes verse after verse from the Old Testament to show a scriptural affirmation of the depravity of man. This passage begins, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:10, Psalm 14:10, and it ends, "There is no fear of God before his eyes." Romans 3:18. In Psalm 36, 1. The wicked flatters himself until the day he sees how hateful he has become. He lives in iniquity, preaches iniquity, and covers iniquity with lies. Transgressions make a fool out of a man. Wisdom, in biblical wisdom literature, is the acknowledgement of God. Proverbs 19:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." While Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." From wisdom comes goodness. When men leave off God, they leave off goodness. The wicked delights in evil and devises evil on his bed. He is like those in the days of Noah, whose thoughts were only evil continually, Genesis 6:5. He is like those of Romans 1:28-31, who did not like to retain God in their knowledge and who became inventors of evil things. Transgression invites us to sit in the evil way, and it tells us that evil is really not all that bad. Contrast the wickedness of men with the goodness of God. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house. And thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light. Psalm 36, verses 5-9. God's mercies, goodness, benevolence, and grace are beyond reach and comprehension. God is true to Himself, a keeper of promises, and His mercy exceeds all standards. His righteousness is like a mountain, grand, immovable, conspicuous, and enduring. His judgments are deep as the unsounded oceans. It takes the sky, the clouds, and the mountains and the seas to describe these majestic attributes of God. God preserves man and beast. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Matthew 26 and verse 26. Excellent describes His loving kindness. This is a word that describes the luster of precious stones. It is in God's house where we find spiritual satisfaction, life, and light. The 36th Psalm ends with a prayer. Considering the inscription, we may want to call this prayer the prayer of the Lord's servant. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen, they are cast down, and they shall not be able to rise. Psalm 36, 10-12. The 36th Psalm calls to mind a passage from Isaiah. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 7-9. The 36th Psalm makes me want to be a servant of the Lord. It makes me want to be a Christian. Now, there's one other lectureship that I was invited to speak, one other topic in this book, in this lectureship on mountains and valleys of the Bible. And this had to do with the Valley of Hinnom. And this manuscript is printed in the lecture book as well. So let me read that one to you. I'll begin reading it and probably finish it in our next class about the Valley of Hinnom. We do not know who Hinnom was. We know neither the name of his father nor the name of his son. Some say we do not know the meaning of his name, but others say it means lamentation. If that is so, then from the beginning Hinnom is associated with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Perhaps Hinnom was a Jebusite. The first mention of the valley of the son of Hinnom is in Joshua 15 in verse 8 and Joshua 18 in verse 16. It is part of the boundary between the lands allotted to the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. It was then a short section of a steep, narrow valley just south of the fortress of Jebus, so called because the Jebusites dwelt in the hills and the valleys around this fortress. Jebus is an early name of the city of Jerusalem. It is commonly reported that the Valley of Hinnom was a garbage dump. It is never explicitly identified as such in the scriptures, and I've read that there's no archaeological evidence that it was a dump. Perhaps it was not. But the inhabitants of ancient Jerusalem would have cast their refuse somewhere, and there would have been no more convenient place for this than this deep, narrow valley leading away from the city. Here the refuse could be cast out of sight. The drainage from this valley flows south from the city and would easily carry the refuse away in time of great rains. It has always been common for dumping areas to be the abode of flies and for their larvae to feed on the garbage. It has also been common for fires to be kept burning in a city dump to consume what the larva did not eat.